time to enlighten up and health yourself at the same time. It's Natural Solutions Radio with Sir Eliezer Ben Joseph, traditional naturopath.
And good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me here at Natural Solutions Radio. Be proud of yourself, and a little excitement is in order for however you found yourself here at Natural Solutions Radio. There are no accidents. Here you are, knowing and believing truth, to always be there when you need it. This is the show where you can learn to health yourself and enlighten up at the same time. You're about to enter the gateway into the world of natural health and freedom technologies with alternative and complementary therapies, all representing the leading edge of natural medicine and social commentary today. Enjoy the information and the entertainment you find at Natural Solutions Radio. You've heard me talk a lot about vitamin D, so there's a number of studies that came out. All of this comes from the National Institutes of Health and the Center for Disease Control. Anyway, there was all kinds of studies that were done. They found that all of those taking calcium, as an example, when you don't take your vitamin D, is not used properly, and it can cause hardening of the arteries. So when you take the vitamin D, it actually causes the calcium to be utilized properly, and it causes decreased arterial stiffness. Only those with the higher vitamin D intake. The new study finds an association between calcium intake and decreased arterial stiffness in individuals with proper vitamin D intake. Decreased arterial stiffness, and that means lower blood pressure. Now again, we always take vitamin D with vitamin K2. And it says, also a new pilot study that provides more complex picture of vitamin D's role in asthma, especially in later in life. And it was an interesting new trial. Researchers explored the effects of vitamin D supplementation on elderly patients with vitamin D. And they found that those people with the higher amounts of vitamin D had less need for asthma medication, the inhalers, and did not have asthma attacks as frequently. So again, we talk about getting vitamin D levels up. It's almost one of the universal supplements that are needed. And vitamin D is almost that way. And again, you want to take a vitamin D, also take vitamin K2. Now, vitamin D, you're going to take at least 5,000 units and at least once or twice a day. I think most people need at least 10,000 units a day. And vitamin K2, they talk about only about 100 to 200 micrograms of vitamin K2 with each 5,000 units of vitamin D. I think that needs to be bumped up to more like 500 micrograms of vitamin K2 per 5,000 units of vitamin D. The next one that they found, another study, was that the vitamin D deficiency increases the risk of diabetes-associated eye diseases. Now, we know that with people with diabetes can end up with higher amounts of macular degeneration or conjunctivitis and just infections in the eyes or even more myopia or diabetic retinopathy. So the new research published in Diabetes Medicine found that vitamin D deficiency actually may double the risk of diabetic retinopathy or diabetic-associated eye diseases. So that was another study that done. Next study that they came out with is that new research indicates vitamin D may help slow the progression of Alzheimer's disease. So researchers have found that patients treated with vitamin D3 experienced a much slower progression to any of the more severe stages of Alzheimer's disease. So again, I think the higher amounts, and they were talking about vitamin D levels only about 40 to 50. I think you want to get your vitamin D levels up above 75 to 95 when you take a blood test. And I think you'll actually reduce your risk of the severe stages of Alzheimer's disease even more than before. The next study is vitamin D deficiency, as an example, may reduce the chances of a good fertility. So researchers recently found that low vitamin D levels may reduce pregnancy chances in women undergoing in vitro fertilization. So again, we're now finding that vitamin D has so much to do with the hormones and with women trying to get pregnant. So again, ladies, especially if you're a little bit older and you're trying to get pregnant, say in your 40s, then it becomes even more imperative that vitamin D becomes critical. Okay, next study they found was that low vitamin D levels actually increase your deep vein thrombosis. And that's like almost severe varicose veins, but deep in the lower legs. A recent study published in the International Journal of General Medicine found that low vitamin D levels associated with idiopathic deep vein thrombosis. And usually that means they don't know what caused it. Well, now it's no longer idiopathic. Now they know that vitamin D has to do with, again, the deep vein thrombosis or these severe varicose veins, but deep inside. And again, I think that goes back up to the study that I read first that had to do with calcium and arterial stiffness, that the low vitamin D, especially low vitamin D and vitamin K2, caused the arteries to be much stiffer. And when that happens, that's when you can get small aneurysms, as an example. So anyway, that was from the International Journal of General Medicine. Now, another study, this was found in kidney transplant patients, and they found that the higher amount of vitamin D in the blood that the kidney transplant patients did much better. These were, this was done in Southern California, University of Southern California. Researchers found that vitamin D deficiency is common in kidney transplant patients, and they don't do as well and often reject the kidney that's been transplanted. So what they found now is that with the higher amounts of vitamin D, that the transplant was more effective and that the patient didn't reject the kidney. The next study showed that low vitamin D levels may relate to more severe coronary artery disease. And coronary artery disease occurs when there's a buildup of plaque in the arteries that supply blood oxygen to the heart. So again, I think that has to do with the amount of calcium and how it goes into the arteries and the amount of K2. Because what we found is when you get that vitamin D levels up to 75 and you have enough of the vitamin K2 with it, that it causes the plaque inside the arteries to actually pull that plaque out of the arteries, pulls the minerals, and those go back into the bone, and it restores the arterial suppleness. And what happens is when the arteries get hard, that's when the hypertension occurs, and that's when there's more inflammation in the arteries. So again, the higher vitamin D levels, especially with the vitamin K, cause those arteries not to be so stiff. And because of that, the blood pressure improved and the plaque deposits also improved and actually reversed the plaque deposits from the arteries. So we're now finding that you can actually reverse the coronary artery disease using vitamin D3 and the vitamin K2. Now, Linus Pauling would say to add vitamin C and the amino acid L-lysine to that, because vitamin C and the L-lysine act as a statin drug and actually restore the suppleness of the arteries. So again, it's that the stiffer the arteries become, we know that's the increased amount of inflammation. The big question was, how do you know whether you're deficient or not from vitamin D? Because vitamin D3, and again, I'm always talking about vitamin D3, not vitamin D2, which is the prescription vitamin. Often doctors will give you a prescription of vitamin D2 at 50,000 units once a week. We use vitamin D3 up to 10,000 units a day. Now, if your vitamin D is low and you want to get that vitamin D up quickly. What you can do, we use, again, most of the vitamin D come in 5,000 IUs, and it's a little teeny capsule. Some of them come in a little pearl that are liquid, but most of them are in a capsule with white powder in it. Again, 5,000 IUs. If you take that, and you take that with the vitamin K, and you take that with the vitamin C and the L-lysine, it actually reverses the plaque deposits from the arteries. So the question becomes, how do you know if you're in good health, and how do you know if you're vitamin D deficient? Well, here are some of the signals and the symptoms that should bring your awareness to immediate attention. And again, to bring that vitamin D level up quickly, you would take five of those little 5,000 IU pills, five of them twice a day. If you're taking five of those twice a day, that's 50,000 units a day, not 50,000 units once a week. So 50,000 units a day for, let's say, 4, 5, even 6 days, that will bring your vitamin D levels up very quickly. And then you go back to the 5,000 units once or twice a day. Now, the first symptom of vitamin D deficiency is bone loss. And so if you get a diagnosis when you have a bone density study and you show very low bone density, that would be the first major sign of vitamin D deficiency. And again, whenever I talk about vitamin D, I'm always talking about vitamin D and vitamin K2, even though they don't talk about it in the studies. So getting enough of this vitamin D is important in preserving bone mass, especially as you get older. Older women who are diagnosed with osteoporosis can take, they think they need more calcium, but it's not actually calcium, it's the vitamin D that is causing the deficiency. In my studies, since I've been a naturopath for 30 years, we add the mineral silica to that, and we found that that even builds bone mass faster than just the vitamin D and vitamin K2 alone. Again, the mineral silica. And I use bamboo silica. The bamboo silica has about 70 milligrams of elemental silica per capsule. So if you take 4 capsules a day, that's getting a very good high amount, well over 200 milligrams of usable silica. Number two is if you're getting sick often, or you're getting infections often. And one of vitamin D's most important roles is keeping your immune system strong so you're able to fight off viruses and bacteria that cause illness. And so vitamin D plays an important role in the immune function. If you get sick often, or you get infected with viruses or bacteria, that can be another vitamin D, a sign of vitamin D deficiency, because it has to do with hormones, so on. Anyway, this is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, and we'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
And good morning everyone, and thank you for joining me. A couple of questions online. One is about an eyewash formula. Nature Sunshine used to have it called EW, but the original formula came from John Christopher, one of my mentors. It was called the eyewash formula, or eyebright formula, not just pure eyebright. Now, the original formula had cayenne pepper in it, which was a little difficult for people to use, but as far as I remember, when John Christopher's son took over, I think they took the cayenne pepper out of the formula because it was so difficult to use. There's no damage to your eye from cayenne pepper. Now, as an example, if you put black pepper in your eye, that's a very strong irritant, and you can actually get small ulcers, and it would erode the lens of your eye. But cayenne pepper, even the hottest kind, does not erode tissue. It does not blister tissue. You can get John Christopher's formula, Herbal Eye Bright Eye Wash formula, but I think they took out the cayenne pepper. Anyway, there was another question online about parasites and how to get rid of parasites. Now, of course, there's some foods that you want to consume all the time, and that's things like garlic and onions and really high sulfur kinds of food, Brussels sprouts, broccoli, cauliflower. But garlic and onions and chives, shallots, those are going to be foods that have an affinity against parasites, especially garlic and onions, and then all the different forms of onions, white onions, brown onions, red onions, shallots, chives, all of those. When you eat those, it can kill. Now, what I would add to that is what's called diatomaceous earth. And diatomaceous earth is one of those compounds. It's an inert compound, so it has no effect on metabolism. But it's diatoms, which are little microscopic shells. And what those are is if you look under a microscope, they look like little broken glass, or they look like seashells with spikes on them. And when you take that, it's a very fine, fine powder, almost to the point of like talcum powder. But again, when you take it under a microscope and look at it, you'll see these diatoms, these little microscopic seashells. And you take that, and I take it in juice, a tablespoon in pomegranate juice, and what I add is a tablespoon of yogurt. The yogurt helps to bind the powder. You know how a lot of times when you take a powder with juice and you mix it up as you're drinking it, the powder falls to the bottom. You have to add a little more juice again and swirl it around. When you add a tablespoon of yogurt made from coconut milk instead of cow's milk, when you add that yogurt, it thickens up the drink just enough so it binds the powder and it won't sink to the bottom. Now, veterinary medicine has been using diatomaceous earth, oh my gosh, for 1,000 years. And it can also be used externally. You can put it on the coats of your dogs and it'll kill fleas. You can sprinkle it if you had fleas or ticks. You can sprinkle it on the carpet in your house, sprinkle it all over the carpet, and then sprinkle it underneath the cabinets, and then let it sit for a day and then go and vacuum it. And we put it out in the backyard, and I would throw handfuls of it on the grass everywhere, and it stopped ticks and fleas from coming in the grass. And we also, you can put a strip about an inch and a half wide all the way around your house, right where the wall attaches. You know, right, a lot of people have like a walkway around their house. And if you put a strip of diatomaceous earth, insects won't cross it. And again, that's why we put it underneath the sink or in closets, anywhere cockroaches go, because if they walk on it, the powder, that fine powder, will get in their joints. So if you have no problem killing insects, that's what's happened to them. Anyway, that's to get rid of parasites, and it really becomes quite easy. There's also some herbs, Artemisia, L-campanine. Artemisia is different forms of wormwood. And wormwood is an herb that kills parasites. It's also very strong against cancer. So Artemisia, and we use, Nature Sunshine has a formula called Artemisia Formula, a great formula for killing parasites. So this is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, and we'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs. Be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
And again, good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me here at Natural Solutions Radio, talking about basically what are some of the symptoms that you get that know that you're vitamin D deficient. We already talked about bone loss, osteoporosis. We also talked about getting sick often or getting infected often. That has to do with vitamin D. And the number three is if you're having chronic fatigue, chronic tiredness. Feeling tired can have many causes, and vitamin D deficiency may be one of them. Unfortunately, it's often overlooked as a potential cause. So there's been a number of cases of those who complain of chronic daytime fatigue and headaches, and it was found to have a vitamin D deficiency. And again, that vitamin D, when you're out in the sun, you know how you feel so much better, and it's the sunshine vitamin. And so again, you want to make sure, especially when your vitamin D is low, when it's below 20 or 25, even below 30, that's when you can start to really feel that you're going to have low vitamin D. This is, again, I wanted you to bring that up quickly. And the way to do that is to take that five of those little 5,000 unit pills twice a day. And so that's 50,000 units, and you take it for about 4 to 5 days. They're 5,000 units each pill, so you take five of them, which is 25,000, and you take it twice a day. So that's 50,000 units. That's 10 of those a day, and so that's 50,000 units. And again, you take it anywhere from 4 days to 7 days at a time. The next one is bone pain, back pain. And again, that has to do with bone loss. But bone pain, lower back pain, that can be signs of inadequate vitamin D levels in the blood. Vitamin D, of course, is involved in maintaining healthy bone health through a number of mechanisms. Again, it improves the absorption of calcium and silica and magnesium and phosphorus all into bones, and they have to be absorbed into bones. Again, make sure you're taking vitamin K2 with that. So if you're suffering from a lot of bone pain, general bone pain or back pain. And then number five is depression. And you know how there's called seasonal affective disorder? People that don't get enough sunlight or natural sunlight, they can often feel very depressed during the winter. Well, depression and a depressed mood may be signs of the vitamin D deficiency. And again, in review of studies, researchers have linked vitamin D deficiency to depression, particularly in older adults. They found that supplementing vitamin D improves mood, and oftentimes it's even better than sunlight, because to absorb vitamin D through the sun is often very difficult. And vitamin D and depression. Now, the last thing the article is talking about is never take vitamin D without vitamin K2. You've been hearing me say that during the whole time I'm talking about this article. And it says, just as important as vitamin D3 is taking vitamin K2. Vitamin D without vitamin K could actually be more harmful to your health. When it comes to calcium metabolism, vitamin D and vitamin K work together. Both play important roles. Vitamin D gets calcium into your blood, and vitamin K sends that calcium to your bones and prevents calcium from accumulating in your arteries. It also prevents calcium from accumulating in your kidneys or in your heart, or causing a high calcium score in the valves of your heart. So if you don't want rogue calcium going to the wrong places, and that can cause joint stiffness, arterial plaque, arterial stiffness, then vitamin K2 ensures that your body uses the calcium properly. There was a question, if a food is labeled organic, how do you know it's really organic? If it says California organic, then let me tell you, it is organic, because any food that has that California organic label, they do not want to lose it, because it can take 7 to 10 years to get that organic certification back again. So a food company doesn't want to lose that, and they don't want to jeopardize that. So now there's also USDA organic, And they do allow certain percentages of things that we would consider not necessarily organic. As an example, they allow a certain percentage of GMOs, less than 10%, but a certain percentage. They also allow certain residues of pesticides. So again, USDA is not as strong and organic as California. And it'll say that somewhere. We'll be right back. Natural Solutions Radio.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me here. I was talking about organic foods, and you do have to be careful because there's sometimes, you know, if you have an organic farm next to a non-organic farm, sometimes there can be a crossover depending upon where the wind is blowing, and there's been a number of suits. In the beginning, Monsanto was suing all of the farmers that were claiming organic, and they would test, and because the wind would blow their Roundup spray onto the organic, they would sue those farmers supposedly for stealing the Roundup pesticide. Well, the farmers finally got together and they re-sued Monsanto and saying, no, you've contaminated our organic farms and we're suing. And actually, they have now won in the courts. Monsanto has been losing a lot of the court battles, and so there's more and more suits. There was an article that came out that says that a study proves that those people who eat organic food have 25% lower risk of cancer. This study was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, Internal Medicine. And it says, if you've ever doubted whether organic food is worth the higher price, well, this new study, published again in the Journal of the American Medical Association, Internal Medicine, I think it should put your concerns to rest. In the study, French researchers showed that people who consumed organic food had well over 25% lower risk of cancer of all different forms. And the study was carried out under the guidance of epidemiologists. They looked at the diets of nearly 70,000 French adults with an average age in the mid-40s, and the volunteers were divided into four categories according to how often they ate either 16 organic products that included vegetables, fruit, fish, meats, prepared meals, condiments, dietary supplements, vegetable oils, and other products. Now, they followed these for over 4.5 years, and the researchers looked at how many of the participants developed any type of cancer. And after comparing the volunteers' organic food scores with the cancer rates, they were able to determine that those ate that the most organic foods had a 25% or higher lower risk of developing any form of cancer. I think it's well worth it to eat organic food. Again, think of it. You can only consume so many pounds of chemicals every year. And if you're eating regular foods and you notice that you're getting sick all the time, again, it might be those heavy pollutants and chemicals that you're consuming. Now, of course, you'll get information from the FDA or the CDC, and they'll tell you that oftentimes these chemicals don't pose such a risk, or that GMOs do not pose such a risk. But again, when you look at some of the books, as an example, that we were just talking to Adam and his book about the poisoning of America, and you can find that these chemicals do cause severe side effects. Again, you have to be careful. Now, one of the studies, by the way, that how to rid your body of about 70% of the toxic material is doing deep breathing exercises. Doing deep breathing exercises is one of the best ways of detoxing the body. One of the ways that you do that is spending time controlling your breathing. And there's what's called breath awareness, and there's different kinds of yoga breathing exercises. But one of the easiest is called breath awareness. And what you do is you just think about your breathing. And so you might inhale to the count of five, four or five, and exhale to the count of 7 to 10. And what you're doing, and that's a full exhale, and so you're doing a good long, slow exhale. And they said that doing that for 10 to 15 minutes a day, even at 3 to 5 minutes, three times a day, actually help to detox the body as high as 70% of the toxins that were actually gotten rid of. And when you exhale, your body gets rid of a lot of toxic material. Metabolically, you'll convert a lot of these toxins into a form that can be exhaled. You can also use the other elimination organs. As an example, humans only have five elimination organs. You can poop it out, you can pee it out, you can sweat it out your skin, cough it out of your mouth, or blow it out of your nose. So breathing is one of the best forms. Now, I also talk about using the diatomaceous earth so that when you poop, you'll get that out. I also talk about, you know, drinking good, healthy water instead of polluted water. You want to drink distilled water or filtered water. We use a filter from Kangen. And also sweating, using a far infrared sauna. And that actually has been studied. They found that using a sauna for 30 minutes, three times a week, you can get rid of lead and arsenic and cadmium. Then doing the breathing exercises, doing things like a neti wash in your nose, where you're keeping your nose clean. All of those can help lower your risk of toxic residue that's building up in the body. Yes, good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Good morning. I have a question. Hi, Dr. Joseph. I have two questions, both on the same subject, and that subject involves my favorite drink, coffee. Number one, I heard that the coffee, the regular drip type, is actually could be good for you, but the one that's unfiltered, like espresso or the French press types, are actually bad for your cholesterol, and I'm trying to keep my cholesterol under control. So I was just wondering if you knew anything about that and what your comments would be about, you know, unfiltered coffee and cholesterol. Two is, I still like a little bit of sweetness in my coffee, so what's the best alternative sugar? I know you like to promote non-sugar and no sugar, but, you know, I still like a little bit of sweetness, so sort of alternative sweetener would recommend.
Both good questions. There are more and more research finding that actually coffee is not as unhealthy, and it's actually, they're finding that it's a lot healthier than we talked about, that coffee itself is very rich in antioxidants. You can actually get green coffee bean extract in pill form as a supplement. And drinking coffee, and again, there's different forms. I think actually all the forms, the drip coffees and the espresso coffees, again, they do have some health benefits. Now, one of the things about cholesterol, it depends upon the ratio of the good cholesterol to the bad cholesterol. So it's what the HDL cholesterol is, not just the total. The other thing is, and they don't break it down for you, the HDL is supposedly the good cholesterol. The LDL is supposedly the bad cholesterol. But in the LDL cholesterol, there's a number of different types. There's what's called a large fluffy molecule, and there's a small dense molecule. It's the small dense molecule that is more detrimental. That means that you can be building up plaque into the arteries, where the large fluffy molecule is actually protective, and it has protective qualities against cancer. Most doctors don't break that cholesterol down very well, and to tell you, because they want to move and sell statin drugs. I personally think that statin drugs are not a very good drug to take, and there's been numerous studies on that. The reason is that statin drugs cause muscle damage. And what is your heart made out of? It's made out of muscle. So one of the things that the statin drugs cause is they lower the uptake of CQ10 and they lower the efficiency of the mitochondria, which is how the body uses oxygen and makes its ATP energy, and that's the energy production little factories inside our cells. So to me, taking a drug, yes, you may lower your cholesterol, but it can cause muscle damage. So yes, and you can die because of the muscle damage, but you die with low cholesterol. So we usually don't worry about cholesterol. What we do is want to raise the good cholesterol, and what you want to do is stop inflammation. It's the inflammation in the arteries that causes the buildup of plaque. And plaque is when there's like a sore in the arteries. Imagine taking a paper clip and straightening the paper clip out. You know, take it and unbend it so you have a little bit of a long wire from the paper clip. Now, in the middle, bend that paper clip back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. What's going to happen to the paper clip? The paper clip is going to break, and that's due to mechanical stress. So what happens when the arteries get stiff? Remember, arteries beat just like your heart beats. And when the arteries become stiff and they're beating, it's like bending that paper clip all the time. So you end up to get little cracks that appear in the arteries. Now, we don't want blood leaking through those cracks. So what the body does is it puts a Band-Aid on top of the crack. And that's called plaque. We don't blame the Band-Aid for the heart disease. We blame is the arterial stiffness or the cracking. If there was no cracking, especially if there was no arterial stiffness, then the cracking doesn't occur, the inflammation is not there, and you're not building up plaque. This is the reason I talked about vitamin D and vitamin K2, taking those together. So anybody that has a cholesterol issue, I would make sure they're taking a vitamin D, at least 5,000 units a day, maybe up to 10,000 units a day. Get a vitamin D test at least once or twice a year. And again, you want to be at least 75 to 95. And you'll cut your risk of heart disease, but you'll also cut your risk of all forms of cancer. That's really quite important. I think that cholesterol is really looked at much more to sell statin drugs than it is causing harm to the body. So again, there's some certain foods. Well, one of the foods that's one of the most tasty foods that actually can help balance cholesterol is a compound called hummus, and it's made from garbanzo beans and tahini. It's an Arabic dish, but everybody in the United States, you can buy that in any supermarket. So eating hummus and a good amount of it is really quite beneficial. Now, one of the things that you can do to get more vegetables and hummus into your diet is you can saute onions and mushrooms and broccoli and cauliflower, and you saute those in butter. And then what you would do is add that to, let's say, a mushroom soup in the blender. So now all those vegetables and sauteed onions and vegetables becomes more like a creamed soup. And you can add a tablespoon of the hummus into the cream soup, and you stir that up real good, and you can thin it out with a little more of the mushroom soup or a little bit more of coconut milk, and you now have a way to get in high amounts of vegetables, especially those cruciferous vegetables, and especially mushrooms because they're so anti-cancer, and onions and garlic and all of these. It tastes really good, and we're coming into the winter, and there's nothing like a hearty soup to really help warm you up. And a hearty mushroom soup with all of these blended vegetables, and again, with a little coconut milk, you're going to have a really tasty. And it's a way for kids to get more vegetables because they don't know they're eating all of those vegetables. So it's one way I tell people, if you do that in the form of these soups, and they're a little thicker, you can, enjoy that, you know, eat it with a good spoon as opposed to it's not thin enough to drink as a tea, but it's a good soup, and you make it, if you don't like it real thick, you just add some more coconut milk or mushroom soup liquid, and it's really going to help. And you add that hummus to it, and you're really going to improve not just your cholesterol, but those are all anti-inflammatory foods. So again, you're going to lower the inflammation, and you're going to help the cholesterol, and you're going to actually improve the ratios of the bad cholesterol to the good cholesterol. And when you get those good cholesterols up high enough, then we don't care what the total cholesterol is at all. So especially if you can, as a male, if you can get the HDL cholesterol above 50 or 60, even as high as 70, I've had clients come in where it's actually up to 90 and 100, then we don't care what cholesterol is because it's working as an anti-inflammatory. So I hope that answers your question. We talked about coffee and the cholesterol. The sugar alternative that we use, one is a good raw honey, especially if it's desert honey. There's been numerous studies to find that honey that comes from any desert, and it doesn't matter where it is in the world, if the honey comes from the desert, it's a very strong honey and it has very strong anti-cancer properties. So that would be one form of sugar. Another form would be xylitol, which is an alcohol type sugar. And xylitol is, again, less harmful. It actually has some health benefits. And then another sweetener might be stevia, which is an herbal sweetener. Some people don't like the flavor as much because it kind of tastes like licorice. And then the last one that I would use would be something like a raw maple syrup. Those would be good. Sorghum or molasses can also be beneficial because they're all high in minerals. So that can be very beneficial. So those are the type of sugars that I would use. Xylitol looks like white sugar and tastes like white sugars. It's actually not harmful, and it has some beneficial qualities. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, Natural Solutions Radio, and we'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
Let me go back to some of the articles, because we were talking about a lot of the pesticides and GMOs, and, you know, on the other side of that, the question becomes, can you prevent cancer with diet and with lifestyle changes? And, of course, if you ask the cancer industry, of course, they're going to tell you, I'm sorry, there's nothing you can do. But we would tell you emphatically, yes, there is. Despite what the cancer industry would like you to believe, food is medicine. And eating the right foods can help you ward off cancer. Now, there's been studies that have shown that upwards of 90% of all cancers can be traced back to dietary lifestyle and environmental factors. One of the major studies was from the University of Texas in Houston, and they found that cancer is a preventable disease that requires major lifestyle changes. That was another one, and another major study came from Harvard University, did a major study. And they said a substantial cancer burden may be prevented through lifestyle modifications. And it says you can't go wrong with a well plant-based organic diet. Fruits, vegetables, herbs that are highly regarded for their exceptional anti-cancer effects. And these amazing benefits are derived from a number of plant nutrients. Now, as an example, I'll go through, there's about five or six of them that are very specific against cancer. Number one is what's called gingerols, and that's found in the popular ginger root. And they actually pack quite an anti-cancer punch. There are a number of gingerols and other cancer-fighting components found in ginger root. And there's things like gingerone and paradols and six shogols and gingerols and highly regarded, all of those have anti-cancer effects. There was a study that was done at the Center for Plant Biotechnology and Molecular Biology in India. And they found that the gingerols found in ginger were one of the most potent anti-cancer compounds that there was. And ginger root, so ginger root tea, and actually ginger capsules. And you'll find ginger is in a lot of herbal combinations with detoxing effects. So ginger and drinking ginger tea, it's also a very nice spicy kind of a root. And it looks like turmeric, but it's totally different in its flavor. But again, very strong anti-cancer effects. The next compound is sulforaphanes, and those are found in cruciferous. That's high sulfur, and they're found in cruciferous vegetables like broccoli and Brussels sprouts and kale and mustard greens and different cabbages. These are organic sulfur compounds, and they've been extensively studied for most of their health benefits. They have amazing phytochemical. They can destroy cancer cells. They also reduce inflammation that contributes to cancer, and it helps prevent any kind of DNA changes that can lead to cancer. So it even helps to neutralize different enzymes that actually are pro-carcinogenic. These enzymes that cancer cells produce. So these compounds, again, you can eat organic broccoli and Brussels sprouts and kale, and actually broccoli sprouts that are similar to alfalfa sprouts are one of the strongest anti-cancer known. Number three is vitamin C, and there's been numerous studies that shows, especially from Linus Pauling, that vitamin C does a lot of different things. And it really supports the immune system, helps with wound healing, but it has very specific nutrients that help prevent cancer. And studies show that vitamin C can reduce any kind of inflammation. It fights free radical damage, and in the right dose can kill off cancer cells. They're using now vitamin C drips, IV drips, with very high doses, 25,000 to 50,000 milligrams of vitamin C in an IV drip, saturating the blood with it. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph. The opinions and views expressed on Natural Solutions Radio Show are not recognized by standard allopathic medicine and are not endorsed by the American Medical Association or FDA. The very concept of natural therapies for maintaining body systems are foreign to the thinking of allopathic medicine. Join us again next Saturday morning for Natural Solutions Radio with me, Professor Eliezer Ben-Joseph. I'm a traditional naturopath, and today's show is brought to you by Health Naturally, etc.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.